Hey guys, welcome back to my podcast. I know it's been a hot minute, but I appreciate you guys for hanging in there. I am twirling in my desk chair. Don't know if you heard that bang against the desk. We are slowly getting our house together and I'm so excited. It feels right. It feels like I can really settle down and relax, kind of like a big exhale from all of this craziness that's been going on. I do want to go on a little rant just to warn you guys. I do want to rant a little bit about coronavirus and all the craziness there. And I know everyone's kind of sick of hearing about it, but I feel like I just need to get something out. But I also don't want this whole episode to be about just that. I'd like to divulge a little bit more about what we've been up to. If you follow me on social media, especially on Instagram, Dorothea__V, then you know that we just made a trip to Florida, back to Florida. I know, we just came from Florida. What? Yeah, well, we ran out of there so fast that we didn't know what was going to happen. I say we could have gone back in 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. We didn't have any idea. I was pretty certain that we weren't going to just go back in 3 days. 3 weeks was kind of a possibility, but the way that things were developing in the country as a whole, and especially in Florida, there in Florida with the situation, especially in southern Florida, getting as bad as it was and is, we just decided, okay, we're going to set up a life here. We're going to kind of denounce what we had going for us there. And given the situation, our landlords have been very understanding. Excuse me, I swear I don't have coronavirus. Not to my knowledge, at least. Just had a little cough in my throat. But yeah, we found a new place to rent here. I think I mentioned all of this in my last episode. It's been a little while since I've recorded one. But long story short, we're setting up our life here and just planning on staying here. And so it's been good because we found a really great place that's even bigger and better, has more amenities, has more better location, just all around better for literally a third of the price of what we were paying for rent in Florida. So we're getting settled in, but because we ran out of there so quickly, not knowing what the future would hold, we took all of the things that we thought were essential, that we thought we needed. Looking back, I did forget a couple things that I definitely wanted to go back and get. And a lot of other smaller, you know, stupid replaceable things, but also things that, it would be nice not to replace it, you know, like pots and pans and plates and stuff like that. The last month, even though we've been getting settled down, there's also been this thing in the back of our minds is like, oh, we need to go back to Florida. Oh, what's going on? Oh, they made a travel ban to go to cross the border. There's a checkpoint or what's going on there? Are we going to have problems? Just kind of stressing out about this trip that we knew we had to make, which we finally did this last weekend. We did the 13, actually no, it's a 16-hour drive from where we are down to Miami area and got the rest of our stuff cleaned up, moved out. And man, it feels so good. It feels so good just not to have to think about making a trip, you know, to just be able to get settled. We're finally getting everything unpacked. The house is still kind of a disaster, but I'm working on it. And it's starting to feel like a home, and it just feels so good. I remember when I moved into my apartment before I ever met Ben, it was just Max and I, and I think, you know, if you listen to my very first ever episode on here, that was at that apartment in front of the ocean, dream come true, all the good things. It was amazing. I'm really transparent about how much I was paying. My rent there was $1,400, which is a lot of money, and I was doing well, and I had enough to pay for the deposit in the first and last month, which basically drained my account. It was a lot all up front, but I was cranking out the numbers and doing all my calculations, and I was determined that that was where I needed to be. And I'm really glad I did, because that's how I met Ben. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. Kind of crazy, but I remember having a conversation with my dad, because it was right around Christmas time, and my parents were concerned. I'm not one to ask my parents for money or go down that route if it can be avoided. I at all costs will just not even go there. And I could just sense that my dad was a little apprehensive about the money situation. He's like, that's a lot of rent, Dot. And I told him like my numbers, how much I'm making and how it all calculates out just fine. But he was like, well, and I think this is really good advice. I kind of rolled my eyes at it at the time because I was just so stubborn and like hell bent on getting that apartment and so happy to have gotten that apartment that I just wanted to celebrate. And I didn't want to think about like the possible financial stresses that could occur because of this, but it is actually a very good piece of advice. And I wanted to share it with you. He said, you know, basically advising me to not spend or to try and not spend more than a third of my monthly income on rent. And of course, how you divide up the last two thirds of your monthly income is up to you. There's going to be necessary costs such as food and gas and insurance and that kind of stuff. It's obviously wise to set some aside for saving, for a rainy day, for whatever, for in the case of an emergency, your car breaks down, something happens. But yeah, at the time, like calculating my finances, that amount for rent definitely exceeded the third, like a third of my income value that he was talking about. So I really didn't want to hear it. But now looking back, I'm like, wow, that was such sound advice. And of course, everything's happened unexpectedly. And now we're out of there and I'm not paying that amount of rent and everything. And I'm glad. And it calms my mind to no end, knowing that, oh my gosh, now we're paying $450 a month in rent. There's two of us paying it, which is like, I mean, $450 is totally reasonable. That's such a good price, especially for where we're staying. And especially divided between two people, it's like so, so, so affordable. And to just to think of like how much money we can potentially save living here for the next year is really exciting. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, there's so much I want to do. There's so many, you know, travel plans and like blah, 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 things that I would like to do. And I'd like to invest in a new computer setup. And yeah, there's materialistic stuff, but also just having some money saved, just having that that mindset feels really good. It feels really in alignment. I know that's such an overused word these days, but it really feels good. And I'm really happy with where we're at. We were able to make that road trip there and back, like not even thinking about the money that we had to spend to get. In fact, it's so ridiculously cheap to drive right now. And I know it's not good. I know the economy's tanking. Gas prices are like barrels of gas or of petrol are negative right now, which is kind of freaky and scary. But you know, if I'm going to try and be the optimist, the eternal optimist that I am says, wow, what a great time to make a road trip. It cost like literally, I think with the gas mileage and everything, I think it was about $80 one way and probably about $95 coming back because we were loaded down with stuff, but like so, so, so cheap. $1.50 on average is what we paid for gas. To put that in perspective, when I made my road trip crossing the country from Utah to Miami, which was a longer trip, my car was weighed down, but gas prices were almost $3. So literally double of that. And I think it cost in total like almost $300. It's just mind blowing, mind boggling how cheap gas is right now. And while we were there, we stayed two nights in our old apartment. And we had acquired a lot of stuff, a lot of furniture for free or for very, very, very cheaply online. And a lot of stuff that was given to us for free, we either found on the side of the street. Miami is a great place to go hunting for stuff that people just throw away, like perfectly good beds, mattresses, couches. So much stuff. People just want to get new stuff and they just throw it on the side of the road and people pick it up. And so that's a great place to do that. And a lot of stuff was given to us by neighbors that were moving and whatever. So we'd acquired a lot of junk. And in that 2-day period, I was plugged into my Facebook marketplace, just posting, 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 all of it, like all of it, all of it, all of it. I didn't get rid of all of it, but I got rid of a lot of it. And really, really, really cheap. Like, we had to sell it so fast, I had to post it for ridiculously cheap prices, which didn't matter because we got most of it for free. So either way, it was like turning a profit. But like this big comfy pull-out couch that had a bed, a sofa bed. I sold for like $20, you know, it's usually like $1,000. Of course it was used and kind of banged up and had like a stain and stuff. So obviously I'm not going to sell it for a lot, and I probably could have sold it for more, but, you know, we just wanted to get rid of it as fast as possible. So I'm just selling all this stuff. And just with that, we made enough money for the gas, there and back, which made it worthwhile. And it was, of course, nice being back. And there was a part of me that was kind of aching, like kind of hurting, like, oh man, I'm gonna miss this place. Like, it is really beautiful. And but also the things that annoy me, that really, really get under my skin about Florida, didn't really exist anymore. Like, for example, the thing that I really got on my nerves the most was like people's driving and the traffic. And there's no traffic right now because of all this coronavirus. So I had to remind myself, like, okay, when things go back to normal, if it ever does, like, or what that normal is going to look like, who knows? But traffic, I think, will resume at some point. And I will be reminded of how much I hate that. So I had to kind of remind myself of, like, this place isn't perfect either, you know, like, it's a great place. I love Southern Florida, but there's definitely things I don't like. And I kind of had this wishful, like, rosy colored outlook for those 2 days that we were there. And by the time we left, I was like, no, like, it's good. Like, I can leave this place. We made the right decision. It's not worth it. Like, it's not worth the financial stress and headache of having to pay that amount of rent. As nice as the beach is, as much as I love the ocean, and as much as I do want to live by a body of water again someday and hopefully soon, I also recognize that, like, if we make the necessary sacrifices now, and I say sacrifice, but it's like, we live in a wonderful apartment in Louisiana. I really like the area. I really like the city. You know, there's really not a whole lot to, I sound like a spoiled brat saying I'm sacrificing so much, like, oh, I'm not living right on the ocean anymore. But you know, like, it, it's all going to be worth it. And it'll all balance itself out in the end. I'm convinced of that. Thankfully, like I said, our landlords were very graceful with, like, letting us just kind of walk away from the contract. I'm still hoping to get my deposit back, which would be so highly appreciated, especially now more than ever. Given the circumstances, I think they will, but we're still talking about it. We're still negotiating that out. But obviously, they can take the last month's rent, given that I didn't pay any April rent. I don't think anyone in any of their properties did, or if they did, I don't know. I don't know other people's business, but I wouldn't be surprised if they really got shorthanded for April because nobody could pay because nobody's working. So anyways, on to my coronavirus rant. I have something to say. It's been really interesting. From the beginning of this, from like way back in January, I remember hearing headlines about this coronavirus in Wuhan, China, and like all the precautions and all the steps and all the outbreaks and all the news that was happening over there. It's been really interesting to watch it progress. I don't know if interesting is the right word, but seeing how the situation has developed, how it's spread throughout the world, how every world government has reacted to it, especially here in the U.S., not just the government of the U.S., but the American people, the people who live here, I should say. I remember way back at like the end of February, a lot of people like were super chilled about it. Like, they didn't really care, or they just thought, oh, this is so stupid, it'll blow over, like, kind of feel invincible. And I feel like that's a lie that is sold to us as Americans, that we feel like we are the greatest, we are the biggest, we are the most powerful, we are blah, 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 fill in the blank. And I think a lot of people made the mistake, myself included, of just kind of not taking it that seriously. And, you know, things quickly progressed to where we are at now, and there's been a lot of confusion and a lot of controversy over what's been said by the president and by all these different leaders that we have running the show. You know, every state is different, so that's been a whole other thing, is like, should the states be running this? Should it be run by the governors on the state level, or on the federal level, or on the county level, or, you know, and every state's different, and it's really confusing and really, at this point, just, excuse my French, but fucking annoying. Like, so many people are like, let's just get back to life. We're done with this, you know, 2020 is like a wasted year and all of that. So there's that camp of people. This has been what's really interesting is in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that there's been this huge division of like people, and generally speaking, I don't think this is true across the board, but generally speaking, I think if you're more Republican, if you're more conservative, if you're kind of more on that side of where things are at, you're more on the side of like, let's reopen, let's get this, you know, let's just get back on the show, back on the road. Like, let's get going again. I'm ready to work again. Da, da, da. Like, yes, we'll take precautions, but like, let's stop this authoritarian control of the government, you know, that's happening. And if you're generally speaking, if you're more on the left side of things, if you're a little bit more liberal, a little more Democrat, whatever you want to call it, like, you're kind of more of like, whoa, people's lives are more important than the economy. Like, we need to be taking this more seriously. We need to listen and respect what the authorities are saying about how contagious it is and how it's going to be continuing on into the fall. And okay, there's that. There are these two camps, right? And I'm trying to figure out where I fall because I can see clearly both sides. And I take the virus seriously as a threat, but I also can't help but look at the numbers. And I know this has been like a hugely controversial argument, but talking about like comparing these numbers to the seasonal flu. And part of me is like, I can't trust anyone. Like, first of all, I don't trust my own government. I don't trust them to make the best decisions for me. I don't think everyone in the running the show is bad or evil or anything like that. But I definitely think there are a lot of shady things going on. And you have to question people's intentions. I think a healthy dose of skepticism is always good on both ends, not just blindly accept what the government officials are saying, and also to not just blindly accept every conspiracy out there, but to question both and, you know, play the devil's advocate no matter where you stand personally. If you sway more on the conspiracy side, or if you sway more on like the I will do and obey whatever my government says side, you know, questioning what the other one is saying and trying to put yourself in their shoes. And what's really getting on my nerves right now is that, like, at first, for the first month or so, you know, all of March, you're seeing all of these coronavirus memes and lockdown memes and, you know, people trying to find humor in all of this. And it was all good and fun, right? All nice and innocent and ha ha ha, funny, funny, funny. Now you're seeing a lot of that still, but you're also seeing a lot of shaming happening from both sides. Both sides are guilty of this. People that are extremely, you know, whether they go dive deep into the conspiracies of 5G and a lot of other stuff, which I also don't want to delegitimize because I have to question it. Like, I have to wonder if that's true or like what's going on there. So I'm not saying I buy into it completely, but I'm also not denying it. But I see the people who really, really get into that, and like, whatever happened to our level of respect, like natural level of respect for people and their right to, their right to analyze and come up with their own decisions and believe whatever they want to believe, you know, and not just shaming them and saying, you're stupid. Like, you are so freaking ignorant and stupid for even going down that road. Like, why? And then on the other side, the other camp is shaming the followers, I guess you could say, the people who just blindly or not blindly follow the rules and say, don't you know, like, you're just being a sheep, you're just following along, you're just like, you don't get it, like, they're controlling you, they're gonna vaccinate you, they're gonna put a chip in you, they're gonna da 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 da, like all this other stuff. And I can feel the tensions rising on both sides, and I understand why both sides feel that they have legitimate reasons to believe whatever they believe. And we're all going through this right now. Like, we're all stuck at home. We're all feeling the effects of what's going on nationwide, no matter what state you're in, no matter what the law is, no matter what the regulations are, everyone's being affected by this. So we're all really like in a very tense time, right? Like we're all very angry and upset and wanting things to go back to normal, at least to whatever that's going to look like. But whatever happened to just like live and let live, like let someone do what they want to do. Let someone believe what they want to believe. Let someone dive down any rabbit holes they want to dive down. Let someone go along and watch the news blindly as much as they want. You know, and I believe in trying to open people's eyes to any given situation of anything that's going on in the world. And I've tried to do that, but I also believe that it should be done respectfully. And I try to, as much as I might think something is really stupid when I hear it or I read it or I see it and I think, oh my gosh, this person is a complete idiot. Like, how could they even think that? Or how could they even, like, I might think that, but I think this internet generation that we have now, myself included in that, millennials, whatever you want to call us, like, we just get so, we get off on being able to say and do whatever we want online and not paying the consequences of, like, what if you, would you ever really say that to someone in, to their face in person? Would you ever really say shame on you for, and even if you would, like, are we losing our sense of social conduct because we're social distancing now? Like, what is really going on here? It blows my freaking mind how rude and senseless and shameless, really, people are on both sides saying that, like, shame on you for doing this, and you're the reason that we're gonna be worse off, and or you're the reason that our governments can't do what they need to do, and that we're still doing. It's like we're pointing fingers at each other when we really should just take a step back, you know, like pause, take a step back, and look at the bigger picture. Draw your own conclusions, no matter where you end up on the whole spectrum. I don't care, but I don't think that it's mutually exclusive to say I kind of am questioning, like, if this conspiracy, quote unquote, is legitimate or not. And I'm also really doubting if my senator or whatever representative in the government really has my best interests, because I've seen and I, you know, I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear, I can do my research, I can see something that I don't agree with that they've done or whatever. And at the same time, I can believe in this conspiracy or at least like want to know more about it and simultaneously believe that the coronavirus is a legitimate threat, you know, whether that's to human life or to the economy or to what, you know, in whatever capacity it is, but it's still obviously affecting all of us. So, I don't know. When I think things get really sticky when someone from either side tries to convince the other and they put out an argument that maybe sounds good to them, but to the other person, they just sound crazy. And then, you know, it just gets escalated from there. And it's really frustrating to be a bystander and just watch all of this. I've had to do, I wouldn't say like social media fast or anything, because I haven't like been off of it for days or anything, but I am becoming more and more aware of how I digest information online and just trying not to overdo it. Like, I can sense when my blood pressure goes up when I'm reading about too much of this stuff. And yeah, there's things that I read that my heart says that person has a part of the truth. Like, that person knows what they're talking about. They might not be a completely true, whatever. They're just spewing their thoughts on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever. And then there's other times where I'm like, that's weird. Like, why would that person be saying that? Or what do they mean by that exactly? So just try and be discerning, you know, within yourself, with all the content you're consuming. We're all at home. We're all binging out on a lot of news and a lot of wanting to know what the future holds. And it's just really nauseating, you know. At the end of the day, it's like, why I don't know, I'm trying to wrap up my thoughts here. Like, why are we wasting our time doing this? But then at the same time, I want to know, like, I want to stay informed with what's going on, and trying to get the best and most reputable news sources is really difficult these days. And hearing everyone's opinions spewed out in the middle of it just really doesn't help. And on top of that, adding shame and, you know, name calling to other people who don't agree with you or think something other than what you're thinking. It's just a bomb, and I'm done. Like, I'm done with it. Like, I know there's been a lot of protests, a lot of different places, not just in the U.S., all around the world. There have been so many protests, and so many people have come out and said, all these people aren't social distancing, and they're not taking any of these precautions seriously, and it's because of them that everything's going to be extended. And then it's like, well, I take one drive around the block, and I see police officers, and they're not following social distancing, you know, like, I don't know. If we're going to be pointing fingers and saying, well, you're not too following the guidelines and all that, it's like, just relax. Everybody take a Xanax and go take a nap. That's my solution. That's my vaccine. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I do want to give another shout out. I appreciate the people who are out there working and making it possible for the rest of the world to function as best as it can at this point in time. If you are one of those essential workers, as they call them, I salute you, and I think you guys are doing a great job, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. And I've talked, it's interesting too, because I've actually talked to quite a few people within the medical industry, like nurses, different friends that I have, doctors, people that I know, and people that I don't know so well, but who I've met who are nurses or whatever, and in the hospitals, like on the front lines, as they say. And even within that group of people, there seems to be a lot of division. Like, you would think that all the nurses would say the same thing. Like, they're in the hospitals every day. They're seeing the people coming in. They're dealing with all of these shortages. They're, you know, like, you would think that they would have pretty congruent opinion amongst themselves of what's happening. And it's been really interesting to me to see a lot of division, even within that industry, of like the people who are really dealing with this on, you know, on call, on hand all the time, not agreeing with the protocols, with what, how it's been treated, how it's been going on. Some people saying it's not as big a deal as what everyone's hyping it up to be. Others saying it's even bigger. They're not hyping it up enough. Like, that's confusing to me too. That's kind of a red flag. Basically, that's my rant. I don't know what else to say. I'm just here trying to hang in with the rest of you guys, trying to keep up with my baby. It's really hard to not be able to go out really to a park or any public place with Max. Just staying within the four corners of our house is really not fun when you have a year and 8 month year old baby. He's now a year and 8 months. Let's just, I want to encourage you to do what you can. Obviously, what they're saying, which is the social distancing, the mask, the gloves, all of that, staying at home. But another part of me feels very conflicted, because I'm like, I want things to go back to normal. I want, you know, like, I want to get out of the house. Like, sometimes I drive myself crazy just staying inside all day. Like, sometimes I just need to go for a drive. Like, I'm still going to take the precautions. I'm still going to do what I need to do. I think a lot of the more extreme precautions are especially important for the people in the high risk groups, but it matters that we all do something now, and it's only gonna be helped by all of us doing something. As I'm saying this, part of me, like the conspiracy part of me, is like, well, you don't really know that. It could be this and this and this, and it's all there, part of an agenda. And like, I'm conflicted. All of the people and the memes and everything that I'm seeing on social media is really just a reflection of what's happening inside of my head, because I have all of those same voices of all of my friends, of all of my acquaintances, of all the people I know or don't know online, spewing out all the same information. It's all going off in my head, and it's all alarm bells. And part of me is like, yes, I want to encourage you to follow the precautions. And at the end of the day, that is what I'm saying, but I have to be honest and say that there is another part of me that's like, this is so out of hand. Like, this is just, this is too much, you know? I don't know what else to say. All right, guys, I hope you like this podcast. Me just, you know, dots thoughts, spewing my thoughts out onto you guys. I'd love to know what you think. Please let me know. You can actually send me a little voice message if you'd like. I get those notifications on here for that. Is it still recording? Sorry, I had a thing pop up on my screen. But basically, yeah, feel free to reach out and give me your review, what you guys think of my podcast. And I would love to get any feedback, constructive or otherwise. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say, what you think. And I hope you're all hanging in there. And yeah, just remember to step back and breathe. And this too shall pass. All right. Until next time. Salute.